Blog Talk Radio.
Voice, all right. Robert, Dover, Curtis. Let's get this show on the air, brothers.
Hey.
Man, I hate to miss that. Shut that music down, though. Man, I just love that song.
That's a tough trade-off, boy.
Slide Stone, I know, man. Turn that. Slide
over
here, you brothers. It's tough.
That was bad, man. You have to go back and listen to some of his greatest hits. That guy had a hit
a
week.
Yeah, Sly was bad, man. He was bad. He was bad, period. He was bad in all aspects of the word.
Yes, sir.
He was a bad guy. Hello, Joseph. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing? How you
boy
doing?
Man. Welcome to the Brothers for Real radio show again, man. I'd like to congratulate you. Appreciate you, brothers, for being here every week, man. This is amazing. This is good stuff. Be able to talk to the brothers. You know, we far away from each other, but every Wednesday we get together. And talk smack like we used to.
Yeah, man. This is therapeutic. It has all types of benefits. And we have some pretty good information dispensed on these airways.
Absolutely. I've been listening to this stuff sometime, man. I'm like, wow, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Hey, happy Juneteenth, brothers. Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth.
Hey. Oh, man.
Juneteenth to you, brothers.
Happy Juneteenth to everybody. Man, this is a holiday.
What a holiday. Joseph, I hear you in Durham celebrating Juneteenth, man. What was up with all that?
Yeah, I went up to Durham where they had a nice celebration. Had a lot of black businesses that were displaying their products and services. They had some live performances from various musicians and comedians. It was a very fun event, and I was very glad to be a part of it.
When you say you were part of it, what does that mean? What do you mean?
That means that I was one of the vendors that I had a booth set up there, and
okay.
Of course I had to pay. And of course, you know, that's what helps get these events going. Of course, that's what gets these events going. You know, by people that's willing to put up some money.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I did pay for my booth to set up there and talk to people about the insurance and how supporting black businesses is a large part of what we should be talking about, you know, doing Juneteenth. And
right.
And one thing that I tried to share with the people that were there was what Dr. Martin Luther King had said on his last speech. On April 30th of 1968, what he talked about more in that speech than anything was black economic empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And industry that he mentioned specifically were banking and insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And he even went as far as saying that we need to have an insurance in. You know how people talk about sit-ins and all that?
Right.
He said we need to have an insurance in, and he encouraged black people in Memphis to start doing their business with the black insurance companies in Memphis. He told me that's where you need to do doing your business at. And, of course, Dr. Martin Luther King was a real smart man, because Dr. Martin Luther King realized that there was a lot of money in insurance. You know, nothing moves in this country without insurance. And, of course, like I was explaining to one of the guys up there at the Juneteenth celebration, that's the insurance companies, just the insurance companies in the United States, they have more money than all the banks in the world. And so, but unfortunately, less than 1% of all insurance agencies are owned by African Americans.
You know, Joseph, I hate to say stuff like this because I don't own one. But I hate to say stuff like this because I don't own one. But why don't we own insurance companies? I mean, I don't own one, so I can't talk.
The same reason we don't own a whole lot of other businesses, because you can't get the people to support you. And unfortunately, most of the, just like when I first started my agency in Charlotte, I think there were probably about 7 or 8 then. Now, right now, it's only like 2 or 3. But it's the same old song over and over. We just think the white man's ice is colder. We just can't get to see where economic empowerment and justice, social justice in America, they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And Dr. Martin Luther King tried as hard as he could to make that point known. But just like, for example, even talking about economic withdrawal, that of course when you do things like boycotts, just like the Montgomery boycott. Of course, I mean, they were successful. They got rid of that segregated buses down in Montgomery, Alabama, just because they were able to come together. And then, of course, and I believe one of the reasons Dr. Martin Luther King was killed was because he talked so much about economic empowerment, black economic empowerment. And of course, one thing about the powers that be, you can do whatever you want to as long as you don't start messing with the money.
Mm-hmm.
Start
That's
talking
true.
About money. And like one thing he pointed out, he said collectively, even individually, black people in America are poor individually. He said, but collectively, we are like the 10th largest nation in the world as far as money is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But the only problem is we just not properly channeling those resources. And maybe at some point we'll get it, and I hope we get it before it's too late.
Well,
it's getting late in the evening. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, Curtis, welcome to the show, brother. Welcome, Curtis Gatewood, to the show. Happy Juneteenth to you too, brother. How you doing, man?
Hey, everyone. How y'all doing?
Rob Kelly.
We're doing great. We're doing great. Glad you were able to join us tonight.
Yeah, you're sounding good. Amen.
Yeah, well, we're trying to pull the village together, man. You know, the village is
Amen.
And I heard what Joseph just said a second ago. We hope we pull it together before it gets too late.
Hey, Leon.
Yes, sir.
You know something? You know what's going on up here in the nation's capital right now? The House.
Foolishness, no doubt.
They're holding these reparation hearings right now. And now, I tell you what happened earlier. Somebody asked Mitch McConnell and said, what do you think about reparations? He's like, it's something happened 150 years ago, so, his normal dismissive self. But what Mitch doesn't understand, or he just really failed to acknowledge, that race-based slavery, of course, was an abomination, but
what has happened since then, that 150 years that he just brushed off, you know, it's like, hey, that happened 150 years ago. It's that what happened that 150 years afterwards that has been
right.
very problematic for black people. Let me give a quick history lesson here. Anybody who doesn't understand the impact of that statement, do you know?
Give it to us, bro.
Just about every law, almost every law that has been passed since slavery during that 150 years, have been put in place to protect whites and to punish or control black folks. Did you know
right.
in 1935, when the Social Security was enacted, black people could not participate? Did you know that the first minimum wage, it's called the FLSA of 1938, it excluded domestic workers and agricultural workers who were mostly black? We've had riots in Tulsa, Wilmington, Rosewood that targeted black businesses. 30% of predatory loans that preceded the real estate crash of 2008 went to people who would have qualified for traditional loans.
Mm-hmm.
Cash bail system in this country, by its very nature, is discriminatory because black people are sitting in jail rotting right this minute because they can't come up with enough money to get themselves out of jail. We've had
sitting
the war
in jail for 5 years because they don't have $500, man. Stuff like that.
Leon,
yep.
It's crazy.
The war on drugs was a war on black people. The war that
yep.
imprisoned countless number of black people for selling a substance that's now legal and enriching some of the same very people that put them in jail in the first place. Now, here's one that many people don't understand. Here's one that people really don't know about. This Second Amendment, this right to own guns. Do you know the reason this is so popular among racists? Because it came about because, you know, back in the old days, after the War of 1812, this country did not really want a standing army. They had these militias. They believed in these state militias. But because the southern states were afraid, because they had all these black people under their care, that if they called up the militia, they would not be protected from a slave revolt. So this amendment, this fever to own these guns really goes all the way back to slavery. That's just one more little subtle way that black folks have been under the thumb since 1950. I mean, since 150 years ago. Now, here's one. About 2 days ago, it was 4 years after Mother Emanuel Church in South Carolina, where this guy went in there and killed nine people. If it wasn't for these guns that people are so avid about, he would have gone in and made his little pitch, and they would have ran him out of there. They would have thrown him out of there on his ear. But because of these guns and their easy access, and because the reason they've been put in place, like I say, is to protect these people who are afraid of slaves revolting, this guy was able to go into this church with 245 caliber guns with hollow tip bullets. And if you don't know what a hollow tip bullet does to you, you need to use some background checks. He fired 77 shots. Each person was shot on the average of about 8 times. The oldest person in the group was shot 11 times. Myra Singleton, which was one of my classmates from Livingstone College, she was shot 8 times by a hollow-tip bullet. This is the kind of stuff we've had to endure since slavery.
Right.
So to the Mitch McConnell of the world, you need to go back and do some history. You need to get
Robert,
out of here with that. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
That's
go ahead.
You know how I sum that up, what you just said?
What's that?
I said, even though we are entitled to reparations, I would be happy if they just stopped charging us for the bus ride, for the boat ride over here. Because all that stuff you named, that's like them charging us for bringing us over here.
Yeah.
You know, so I said, you know, just don't charge me anymore for the boat ride over here. I think I'd do okay.
But in the meantime, we are entitled to reparations. And the reason I've been telling people, after the reason they don't want to pay reparations to blacks in America, because they owe us so much. And like I said, you get two bills in the mail. You get one bill in the mail for $39.95, and you get another bill in the mail for $3,995. Which bill are you more likely to pay? Well, you're gonna pay the bill for $39.95 because that's easy to pay. But they owe us so much that they're gonna fight that to hell freezes over.
Joseph,
huh?
What you just said explains why my water stays on and my lights stay off.
Mm-hmm. Because the water bill costs less.
That's right. Anyway, brothers, we're going to take a quick break. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Brother For Real Radio Show. We have some guests on the line. We want to spend some time with them this evening as well. So, Robert, let's take a quick break. I need to regroup on a couple of things, and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, the Brother For Real Radio Show is here every Wednesday from 7 to 8. The guest call-in number is 215-383-3872. When we get back, we'll be speaking with Flavor Water Ice, LLC. Robert, let's bring it back in, man. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Brothers For Real Radio Show. You have Joseph, Robert, Leon,
and
Curtis every Wednesday. We're trying to talk about some things that can open up some discussion on things that we consider important to our community at large. And sometimes specific to our local community, like Waynesboro, North Carolina. You know, all four of us grew up in Waynesboro. That's a tough little town. People say it's a tough little town, but hey, we just tough like everybody else these days. Everything is a tough little town. Ain't it right, boys?
Well, all right, what you talking about?
Tough little, yeah. Everything's a tough little town these days, man. But anyway, we're down here in our ways, bro. We're trying to make sure that our children get the attention that they need. We try to make sure they get the exposure that they need to open their eyes and see past their present situations. So we try to partner with people like Flavors Water Ice, LLC. Who have, let me just introduce you guys. I don't know if you guys remember Annette. Y'all remember Annette Getty? You remember Annette Getty?
Annette Getty, yeah.
On 52.
Can y'all believe Annette Getty is on the line?
Yeah. No.
And
come
that
on,
Gabby
man.
Is on the line. Yes, she is.
Are you serious?
Give her a hand before she even starts.
Yeah.
Ain't that a trip? Is that a trip?
She lived on Flower Street, I think.
Is that the name of the street? Ain't that Flower Street?
Yes, yes, it is. It's beautiful over here.
It is. Well, let me tell you right quick, man. Well, Annette and her daughter have a business called Flavors Water Ice. Robert, you had the pleasure of I don't know what you call it, eating it or biting it or drinking it, whatever. What would you call it, Annette? You eat this?
Hey, can I say this?
It is all of that, Leon.
Let me tell you something, Annette and Leon. Back in when I was coming up, I remember Coach Worthy. Y'all remember Coach Worthy and that snowball machine?
Hey, I spent many dimes with Coach Worthy, quarters with dimes.
And the reason I brought it up, Annette, because I had been pretty much searching for a snowball as good as Coach Worthy since then. And when I came down to the Ahala 5K, that was about the closest thing I'd seen to Coach Worthy snowball since all these years.
Nobody makes Coach Worthy snowballs. Nobody can do it like Coach Worthy did it.
Yeah, he was legendary.
Nobody.
You hear that little juice left open that cup, boy? That little paper cup in the corner.
Sounds like
that was a good snowball.
Sounds like you're gonna need some afterwards.
Yeah,
hey, Annette, you got some big shoes to fill there. As you can see.
Oh yeah, I do, and so far so good. You know, we're very happy with the support we've received here.
Oh, yeah, good product.
County.
Great product. I mean, I just only had one of them that day. I was in Waysburg, and I was like, this thing is good.
Yeah,
great, delicious.
I think I've seen them at baseball games. I was probably thinking. But anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And it's healthy. It's not like one of those things loaded with sugar and, you know, dairy and things that you would be allergic to. It's pretty much, we could say, almost allergy-free because it's peanut-free and no cholesterol and no soy, gluten-free. So,
wow.
Unless you're allergic to any other fruit. Like, if you're allergic to
Well, without
to
giving away your trade secret,
strawberry.
Without giving away your trade secret, tell us what is it.
Is
Shannon on the line, too, Annette?
Oh,
I hear that
voice
over
there. Yeah, Shannon.
Who's that?
Okay. That's our daughter, Shannon. Yeah.
Hey, Shannon. Hey.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, right. Shannon. How you doing?
I'm good, hanging in there.
Good.
Hey, yeah. I like to know the backstory behind this though. What brought you all to this point? What's the story there?
Well, before I retired from the school system, I was looking out for a lot of single moms and a lot of teachers that were single moms working under my supervision, under my leadership. And what I found was, you know, and even young girls that I'd mentored needed ideas and ways to come up with businesses. And I just also happened to have a daughter who is also a single mom. So that's how the ideas kind of got started. We have a few businesses between us, but we like this one because of the way we could be creative with it. It allowed us to bring our style into it and bring our brand into it together as a mother and a daughter team. So it all started with me helping and mentoring other young women towards being successful in business.
Well, you got the brothers on this phone have all big proponents of empowerment, economic empowerment, and otherwise. So when you start talking about helping people start businesses and creating opportunities, then you get the full backing and support and love from the brothers on the Brothers For Real and the marketing.
You got that right. You got that right.
Yeah.
And that one question. One question.
It's good to hear.
One question in that.
Yes.
One question. Did Coach Worthy have any influence whatsoever?
What was that?
Did Coach Worthy's snowballs have any influence whatsoever?
I believe so, because Coach Worthy was an idol, man. He was one of our leaders back in the day, you know. And every neighborhood should have something nice, cold, and tasty, you know, for the people to chill, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And this is Curtis. How you doing, Annette? Hey, Annette, how you doing? This is Curtis. This is Curtis Gatewood.
I'm great,
how you doing?
Curtis, how are you? I haven't seen you in 100 years. How old are you?
I know.
About 125?
About
150.
It has been a while. I tell you, it's the sad thing is I can't even remember the last time. Now, that's when it's really bad.
I know.
But,
I've seen you.
Yeah,
but, okay.
So I was going to ask you, this is basically it's seasonal, what I'm assuming. So if during the winter or off season, so you, the goal is to make as much as you can within season, just like I know when I was in retail, we tried to get it all on Christmas time, bam, 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 maximize. Because you don't know what's going to happen after that. So this one of those things where you just push now, and then just hopefully you capitalize off enough to carry you through the rest of the year. How does that work?
Well, the way we are set up, we're in Florida. We're based in Florida. So in
Florida, it's a
year-round
thing. There you go.
You know, and then we travel back and forth between Florida and North Carolina, so we get to hit Georgia and South Carolina, all those little places in between.
Good deal. There you go. Well, that explains it. That's it.
And you would be surprised, last winter, we actually had a lot of events in North Carolina and Waynesboro, like in the wintertime. It was cold, and they still wanted the water ice. I would come home thinking, like, you know, it's cold. We probably won't be able to sell much today or do anything. But people was actually coming by. I made it like curbside service so you could just pull up and you didn't even have to get out of your car. I'll bring the water ice out to you and everything. And last winter, they showed up.
Well, look, tell us about this event.
We got a lot of them. Wayne's, we appreciate y'all.
That's why we're kind of glued here. We've been back and forth for a long time. But now we're just ready to get things going and help our community even more. So
great.
Partnering with Holla, man. This is awesome.
I'm sharing all that.
Well,
cool stuff. Cool stuff. Guys, give me a second. I want to say something right quick. First of all, congratulate Flavors Ice, Water Ice, for jumping into this thing head on and just making it work. And secondly, for the way they're approaching the community, helping the community. For instance, today, we were fortunate enough to get water iced along with Sheriff Landry Reed to Flavors Water Ice, along with Sheriff Reed to sponsor one of our Holla Eagles tennis players to a full week tennis camp in UNC Wilmington. Is that cool or what,
yeah,
guys?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, when people come on board and do things of that nature, man, it's just. He just said, man, the village is coming together, you know.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's what, and Robert, this is good stuff. This is why it's important that we have black businesses in our community and why we support those black businesses. Is that correct, Robert? I heard your show last week.
Well, that's exactly correct, because what Annette, whether she realizes it or not, I'm sure she does. But every time we have a successful business that is launched and it succeeds, then it lays the groundwork for future entrepreneurs. We like to see success. We like to see people setting the example. So it's more than just her being successful. Like you said, you're talking about the village. This really helps feed that village. It gives those young people out there who feel like they're stuck in dead-end jobs, one who feel like, well, I didn't go to college, so now I don't have a future. You can always – you don't need a degree to start a successful business. Now, I want everybody to get a, I want everybody to get a degree to get one. But if you have drive, if you have support, if you have a great idea, you don't mind working, success can be yours. So hats off to Aunt Ed and her daughter for making this – visible to other people and other possible aspiring entrepreneurs.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like to think of her being an example, you know, for what businesses do when they come into a community. You know, just come in and become a part of the network, become a part of the village, you know, and start supporting and getting support, you know, getting support from your community and, you know, reciprocating that. That's what works. That's what I found that works. That's a system that works.
I wanted to say this, too, and because first when we came on, we were talking about the case for reparations, and then Robert and others provided some history of how certain African-American businesses or black-owned businesses were actually destroyed after slavery, deliberately. Masses of businesses were destroyed. And just this example of what Annette and her daughter is doing or are doing shows you how when you destroy one business, how it can impact the village or the community. So just imagine when they were destroying blocks of businesses, the whole Black Wall Street in Tulsa, destroying, wiped out the whole Black business community in Wilmington, North Carolina. Divided up and took a highway and drove it down to Black Wall Street in Durham. When they were doing these things, you have to understand the impact that would have because a business owner like Annette, she can decide. She has the power and the resources to decide what she's going to do with her business as far as how it would give back to the community, how she can support other projects, like supporting this young person who will be going on the field trip with tennis or whatever she decided, they have that power. So when you just wipe out that power, reparations, and there's just so much that you can't even calculate as to the damage that's being done. So those of us who do have businesses, please follow this example because Annette, you and your daughter, you all are doing what systemic racism would not want you to do. And that is to come back to the community and support those people who are really struggling. They need to see this example up close.
Thank you very much.
That's what it's all about at the end of the day. Like for us, we want to be able to thrive so that we can help our community thrive, especially here in Anson County, because you always hear that, like, we don't have anything. There's nothing going on. So the event that we are having is an event that where we're trying to bring those things into our community. And if we can sponsor our kids, even if they got to leave out the community to participate, then that is the goal, to still be able to have those kids to be able to participate in things that are going on and not feel like there's just nothing to do. They don't have anything at all.
Right.
Exactly.
Wow.
So the event you have coming up. Oh, sorry, Robert. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, in this short period of time we've talked today tonight, I heard Joseph and Annette, I mean, two business owners who are asserting their independence. And, I mean, this is just lovely. I mean, this should not be taken lightly. I mean, Joseph will set up his shop, his tent, and promote his company and his community. He can pick his causes. Same thing with Annette and her daughter. This is no small feat. And just hearing these stories really give me the good old warm and fuzzies. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
I bet it does, Robert.
It's also good for Juneteenth. To have this discussion on Juneteenth is also fitting because this exemplifies true emancipation.
Yes, right. Amen. Amen.
When you can be warm and fuzzy, you can create good vibes, you know? So that's what we're trying to do. We want
to
give
me some of that ice to cool me. Give me some of that ice to cool me down when I get old.
We got the chill for you. Definitely.
That's funny, Robert. Yeah, so like I say, these guys came in today and presented to our young person, Zakiya Hickson. Zakiya's a good student, Beta's Club student at Anson Middle School. And she's very deserving of going to the camp. And she's one of our most promising tennis players at this point. And we're very excited that she's able to go to this camp. And it's not something that the Hollis Center has in its budget. So it's important, the support we got from Flavors, Water, Ice, and the Sheriff were is very important. So thank you guys again. God bless you. It's a beautiful thing when the village comes together. Robert, we need to take one more little quick break, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. The number to call in is 215-383-3872. You're talking to the Breed. Listen to the Brothers for Real Radio Show with our special guest, Flavors Water Ice, with Shannon Simpson and Annette Getty, our homegirls. Boy, we're proud tonight. Okay.
There was a boy and girl. The boy said, "I love you so." Girl said, "I never believe you." They grew older and left each other, 'cause that's the way love goes. That's the way
show, ladies and gentlemen. The guest call-in number is 215-383-3872. We still have Flavors Water Ice on the line. We still have Joseph on the line. We still have Curtis. We still have Robert, Leon, and I think we have Miss Kimberly Harrington from Livingstone College on the line. Good evening, Miss Harrington. How are you? We can hear you. Good evening, Ms. Harrington. We wanted to bring you into this conversation because since we're talking about reparations from slavery and because of your close relationship with the African movement at the moment. My question to you is there any conversation from the African continent on this subject?
I haven't heard any conversation, but I do want to see.
Can't hear you too good, Ms. Harrington. No. Ms. Harrington, I think you're going to need to come off speaker.
Okay, hold on. Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Yeah,
can you hear me now?
Good.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Much better, thank you.
I do want to say in response to the I think it was a senator this morning. I can't even remember his name. When he said that him. And I didn't tune in earlier, so I'm not sure if you all addressed this, but he did say this morning they didn't even know who would the reparations go to. Who would they give them to? And that kind of perplexed me a little bit because, in my opinion, it would go to everyone in the United States who was of African descent. And I'm not sure, did I miss something? I didn't understand why he was coming from that perspective, trying to decide who reparations would go to. Was there any conversation on that early in the show?
Well, no, let's talk about it.
Go ahead, Curtis.
I missed it if it was, but I'm glad you brought that up, Kim, because that is one of the things that people sometimes will use also to say we can't do it because we wouldn't know who to give the reparations to. But that is why, first of all, people act as if the complexities involved in reparations would be a reason why you don't do it. When we figured out everything else, now you get a check. People got checks coming to them for Social Security. We don't know how that ended up happening. They got all these different things, the tax, the IRS knows when you didn't pay your taxes. They can send you your tax refund. They can do all different types of things. They can keep up with you. They can create a lien on your property, go in your bank, get your money. So they have all these entities within the federal government that can do or figure out whatever they want to do. So I will say it probably would take some figuring out to determine who would get reparations. And I think the reason why it might take some determination is because I don't know if an immigrant a person, although that person might be of African descent, I'm not sure if that person would qualify as being a person who would receive reparations for what happened on the shores of America. So it could be some things that might need to be looked at, but it still wouldn't negate the fact that we need to figure it out, do it, and do it in a way that's fair. But I would certainly think natural-born African-Americans, people who are born here in America, would qualify for reparations. But, again, I think those are the types of things that need to be ironed out. And whatever happens, it needs to be people who are there in the room who are looking after the best interest of justice and not saying, well, we're not going to do it because it's hard.
Hey, Curtis,
you know what I mean?
I'd like to add that the hearing today was primarily to get the people in the room to talk about it. There needs to be a discussion. Like you said, there are some people who adamantly feel that this should be only for American descendants of slavery. As a matter of fact, there's a group called ADOS, and they're very vociferous and adamant that this money should, or whatever benefit, should not even be entertained for other people other than American descendants of slaves. So there is a discussion that needs to be that needs to take place, and I think that is the first step. Nobody is going to come out of the judicial hearing or Senate or the White House in the next year or two with a bill that's going to say, let's go ahead and start writing checks or giving free loans,
right,
or free interest. But the discussion,
right,
has to take place. We have been,
exactly,
avoiding the topic, and that's the problem.
Exactly, and actually working it out. I mean, because, like you said, like I said, there's so many governmental things that we do.
Yeah.
That, you know, well, I would have never figured it out. And so one person sitting around said, well, we can't do that because that just won't, you can't do like that. Oh, you can't give everybody money. Or you can't do this. Or you can't do that. Well, you might not be able to. You probably wouldn't have invented the vehicle. You probably wouldn't have invented the transit system and all this other stuff that we have that's going on. These skyscrapers that are being built where they get a team of people that can put up a skyscraper. But there are people with areas of expertise that should come together on this question and start working on these things and get it done. And then you come up with the proposal. Okay, this is what we plan to do. We've sat down with people. We've done reparations before. This wouldn't be the first time America has done reparations. You know,
absolutely.
They've done reparations for several groups of people. They just have not done any for African descendants or people who are impacted by slavery. And then I think the next thing we need to also add, and we talked about it earlier, when it comes to statements like that being made by McConnell, as if this happened 150 years ago. You know, that is a lie. It never stopped. And mass incarceration is the new slavery. You're being, people are being wrongfully incarcerated for long periods of time. And like you talked about, Robert, the drug war that basically was a war on black people. And there just had been a continuation. There was never a break. There was never a break. And so to hear this man sit up there talk about this stuff was that long ago. And then even if the people who
who robbed you died, that doesn't mean the people who are alive can't give it back.
You know, a point that I've heard you make before, Curtis, that I meant to mention also, but during this period of lynching, land was taken. And sometimes that was actually, they use these other pretexts to pretend they were doing it because somebody may have whistled at somebody or assaulted somebody. They had an agenda. They wanted that land.
When they lynched the man, they took the land. People need to remember that. When you look at all these lynchings across the country, over 5,000 lynchings between probably 1890 on up until probably about 1950, there were just lynchings galore. I mean, it was just a public event. And they were, and all you had to do was come downtown and know how to count, know how to do business. And that white man see you knowing how to count, knowing when you got back incorrect change, you've been able to negotiate saying, no, you're not giving me enough for my property. My property or whatever you're exchanging is worth more than this. I've done the homework on it. You become a target of a lynching when you show your intelligence and your ability to do business. The next thing you go back home from downtown, your house is on fire, and you're coming out, and your husband being lynched. So there's a lot to the lynching that we need to talk about at some point. Yeah.
Well, look, here's what Mitch McConnell said today. He said, I don't think reparations for something that happened 150 years ago for whom none of us currently living are responsible is a good idea. I think we're always a work in progress in this country, but no one currently alive was responsible for that. And I don't think we should be trying to figure out how to compensate for it. But, brother,
and he went on to say, give examples. Like, he said there was civil rights bills passed. He said Obama was elected president. Those are types of things that we should be satisfied as reparations. The civil rights bills, which we are still fighting for because it's being violated every time you get a certain legislature in the building, then those rights are being put at risk. The so-called affirmative action basically went to white women. So everything you name, and Robert, I think you're making some good points about a lot of the so-called bills that were being passed early on was excluded black people. So there's nothing has been done. Repeat, nothing has been done to compensate for slavery and what has gone on, the continuous oppression and robbery of black people.
Right.
Well, hey, quite frankly, the only reason you have a Mitch McConnell and a Donald Trump running the country is because of the benefits that they received.
Exactly.
Due to slavery and the 140, 50 years that followed. You would not have a Donald Trump as president of the United States had it not been for the benefits, the privileges that they received after slavery. They'd have to be competing against people like us. You know what I'm saying? Our parents. They would have been their competitors instead of their floor mats. So I don't want to hear this stuff that this happened 150 years ago.
And check this out. Yeah. After slavery, you had the Ku Klux Klan, which started so many lynchings across the country and massacres, in addition to the fact that you were creating a cycle of wealth on the side of the white side of the track. And you were creating a cycle of poverty. It doesn't really go that far back, even if we just dealt with slavery alone. Our daddy, Reverend Dr. Wade H. Gatewood, happy Father's Day, Daddy, was born in 1916. Do you understand my daddy's daddy had nothing to hand down to his son because of slavery? And as a result of that, my father had to be a sharecropper. He had to work, basically, sharecropping is a step. I ain't going to say a step up from slavery. It's a step, an extension of slavery. He had
it's a lateral move.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a lateral. Daddy had nothing to hand over to his children as a direct result of slavery and racism and the robbery. And therefore, when Daddy was deprived, it deprived me of having something to hand over to my daughter. So it's not that far back, even if you wanted to deal with slavery.
Well, let's speak. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be an economic genius to understand the process of accumulative goodwill. And that's one of the things I teach people in business development. Constancy. That means when you start, you can't start a business on day one and be smoking cigars with $100 bills on year two. It takes years to build a successful business, years of understanding, watching the cycles and go up and down. Now imagine somebody who has had 150 years. Even before that,
right.
Let's go back to the 400 years. Let's go all the way back of constantly accumulating.
Yeah.
And then you have another group of people who are not only not been allowed to accumulate, but you are benefiting from their labor.
Right. Right.
There is no way you can make this right.
Accumulate.
You can't. There's not
you
enough money
right.
in the world to make this right.
Yeah,
that's correct.
But for somebody
I think that is the problem. I think that is genuinely the problem. They cannot pay all that they owe. They could never pay.
But they
can
do something, though.
That's
they
right.
They could
see,
do something. I agree.
Right. And that's not a reason to start, but you're absolutely correct. They would never pay the full debt, but you know they're not going to pay it if they don't pay you nothing. So
right.
they have to pay. They have
right.
to start. And see, and Dr. King said this, and I'll be finished with this. You know, and there's just so many ways we could make it clear that reparations is the right thing if people want to talk about it now. Yeah, but you know, because people have selective scripture amnesia, they like to talk about scripture, but they don't want to bring it to the table when it applies to something that's going on that people would perceive as controversial. Jesus
right.
talked clearly to the rich man. He talked clearly to him. And the rich man wanted to know, how can I get into the kingdom? And Jesus told him, look, you know, do you follow the commandments? Said, yeah, oh, yeah, I do all that. He said, take your wealth and distribute it amongst the poor. In other words, reparate. Take that money that you got and distribute it. Now, you know if he said this to a good man, who said he followed the commandments, what Jesus would tell a man who robbed the poor. Take the money back and give it to the poor. You know if he said it to a good man, what do you say to these racists? So, you know, people need to stop playing crazy with the Bible. Jesus talked directly to the rich man and then told him it would be easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for you to get into the kingdom.
Preach, brother. Check this out, guys, now. This brother named Ta-Nehisi Coates. He was the essay, The Case for Reparations. That really is credited with bringing the issue back to the spotlight, the issue of reparations. Anyway, he countered or he challenged McConnell's remarks by saying that enslavement reigned for 250 years on this shore. And for a century after the Civil War, black people were subjected to a relentless campaign of terror,
right.
a terror that extended well into the lifetime of Majority Leader McConnell. So McConnell is, everybody knows McConnell is just lousy. I mean, he doesn't say anything that means
but he's
anything
what
that...
Say. I'm glad he brought it out here. He's
he is like his leader. He is very much like his leader. We all know what we're getting.
Yeah, exactly. He's saying what they say, and I'm glad he brought it out there so we can show people how ignorant that thought is. There one time they were selling that mess, so people were like, oh yeah, that was a long time ago. They were saying that was a long time ago, 100. They were saying that a long time ago, 50 years ago. And so now, ever since it happened, they've been saying it was a long time ago. They were saying it was 200 years ago.
It was a long time ago. But what about what's happening now? Can we get some reparations? What's going on right now?
Right.
We'd have to go back 150 years.
What about the brothers getting shot down in the street and you know, sisters getting killed while they're in jail and little boys getting shot down playing with toy guns? Can we get some reparations?
There you go. And check this out.
They can't go back 150. How about like tomorrow? How about like today? How about like yesterday?
Let's go directly to the money. Look at the pay disparities that we have now. Well, we have CEOs acting as if they are 300 times better than the worker that's on the front line.
That's
right.
That
and
the worker
same...
on the front line is the one doing the work.
Exactly. That is the same setup of the plantation. That's an extension of the plantation. You got the CEOs and the slave master. The only difference is you don't live on the same in a hut in the backyard. They just put you in public housing or in the hood to get killed. But it's not that much different. If they would have had you in a hut
why they just, you know, not pay you at all. At least at the hut, you ain't got to pay rent, you ain't got to worry about getting transportation. So it's the same thing. They just relocated you and made you think that you're free, but you're still getting a slave wage and you can't afford to live. So it's the same thing, really.
There's more disparity between the lifestyle out of the semi-land worker and the CEO than it was between the slave and the plantation owner.
Right, exactly.
Plantation owner and the slave were closer to being on equal footing than the semi-land worker and a CEO. Just like an example I gave a while back on the show, this guy named Bezos, the guy that owns Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth about $80 billion. He
right.
has about 340,000 workers, and he could double the pay. He could double the pay with all 340,000 workers with $7 billion. He could have over $70
right.
billion left.
Some of these people are making, yes, these people are making like $40,000 and $50,000 an hour, and we around here can't get $18,000 a year.
Bezos, he made like $3 billion in one day one time.
Jeez.
Unbreak my heart. Wow.
So now we're talking about
guys,
yeah.
Before
go ahead.
I have to hang up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello? You say what now? You got to hang up.
Yeah, I have to hang up, but I wanted Robert to, if it's okay, to promote the guests of his radio show on Friday.
Absolutely. Yeah, by the way, folks, set your dial. Set your dial for this coming Friday, June 21st. I'm going to have Mr. Kwabena Botung. He's with the HBCU African Homecoming. And we're going to have a very lively discussion about some of the topics we're talking about today and add that element of Africa and that transatlantic communication that's being fostered
right.
and growing every
right.
day. This fight that we're up against is so big, we're going back to the motherland to get some help. And we're going to start that conversation, at least on the marketing pulpit, this coming Friday. We'll be broadcasting live at Radio 1 at 95.9 FM in the Washington, D.C. area. It's going to be on TuneIn. It's going to be on Facebook Live. And if anybody who's following me on Facebook, you will know it when the light comes on. And if you want some other listening options, go to marketingpulpit.com, and you'll see all of the options on how you can listen to this exciting interview. I'm so excited to have Mr. Kwabena on the show this coming Friday, starting at 10:30 up until about 11 o'clock.
There you go.
Give yourself a hand, man. Wow. That's wonderful,
man. Give myself a hand, daggone it.
Give yourself a hand.
And thank you, Kim, for setting it up. I want to thank Kim for
Amen.
What she's doing. Man, she is doing wonderful things at Livingstone College, and she's spearheading
Amen.
It. She's right there with her sister from the African Union. Man, talk about, man, we got some powerful people on this line this evening, folks.
Amen.
Give everybody
thank
a hand.
Kim.
Everybody.
Thank you,
Amen.
Kim.
Amen.
Thank you. Your daughter and all that.
Look, boys, but remember this now. Y'all remember this now. Early in the year, I said reparations was going
yes,
to be a part. Needed. I said it and it sounds crazy. People are like, what? Reparations? I said, reparations need to be a part of the 2020 election. And
well,
it sounded crazy at
it.
That time when I said it. And so here we are.
I didn't call you crazy, man.
I mean, I know. I'm just saying it might have sounded kind of, you know. But I'm saying, I was saying,
hey, let me tell you.
Any of the hype was out here.
It sounded crazy when somebody said this young black guy named Barack with a funny name like Barack Obama is talking about being president.
Barack,
that's how crazy
Barack
that
Hussein. Barack Hussein.
Oh,
Obama.
Yeah, Hussein. We just,
they made
just
him
everything.
Talking about something crazy coming to pass.
It's just demonized.
So don't talk about crazy. Hey, Curtis. So don't talk about crazy not happening, right?
Yeah,
don't talk about crazy not happening, especially when Trump became president.
Absolutely. Oh, right. My God.
Come on.
We thought we had seen Craig.
Come on.
Huh?
Come on, come on, keep it, come on.
Hey,
I like this crew. Hey, Leon.
Yeah.
Next,
I like this crew got on the phone
tonight.
We
talk about these 83 environmental regulations that Trump has gotten rid of already. People are dying for racism. Racism is going to kill us all. I mean, he's wiping out all the environmental protections. And nobody seems to care.
I read that today. I was like, wow.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Air,
ladies and gentlemen, brothers.
Yeah.
Flavors Ice. And that.
Yes.
Shannon.
Yes.
God bless
yes.
you.
Yes.
We're proud to have you on the show tonight. Our time has
Thank
run out.
You.
We so appreciate you being here and so appreciate you being back in the community and so appreciate what you're doing while you are back in the community. We're so proud of you. We love you. And our brothers, we're going to have to get off the line now. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. The number to call is always 215-383-3872. Tonight we've been blessed with the presence of Flavors Water Ice LLC, my homegirls, Annette and Shannon. And we got always, as always, we have the brothers Robert, Curtis, Leon, and Joseph. Brothers, we out of here. Y'all have a good night. We love everybody. Good night.
Hey, Leon, I'm out, bro. Good show.
Hey, man, yeah, you come on out, man. You know the family reunion this weekend up in Charlotte on Mama's side.
Oh,
well,
that's right.
That's
well,
right. That's right, Joseph. That's right. This weekend.
Put that on my
list.
How many
people actually play? At Clintonia's house, under his
daughter. All right. Look at
put your hands together, brother.
Thanks, bro.
We out of here, brother. Go to your next shop, man. We'll holler at you. God bless you. Good show, brother.